Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
He's Northwestern Medicine BP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
All right, 6:39, my friend Dr. Kevin Most joins us now, sponsored as always by the fine people at Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit for better health care. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How was your weekend?
It was nice, you know. It's finally gets summer, I think, but you know, these pop-up storms in the afternoon are a little unsettling, but for the most part, got to play a little golf and spend some time with my brother, so it was nice.
You know, we can't always get Tom Skilling on because of the time problem in the morning, you know, because he stays up late. So if you could also run out along with your medical degree and your medical chops, if you could get a meteorological degree, that'd be helpful, and we could just call you.
Perfect.
I mean, you same have that pay? Kind of time.
Do I get the same pay?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, good.
You know what? I'll double it. All right, much to talk about as always. Temps in the 90s, humidity to match. This week it's the 4th of July. We got picnics. We got fireworks. We got heat. What do you got for us, Debbie Downer?
No, you know, it's not so much a Debbie Downer, you know, because it is. This is a big week for a lot of people. And when you look at the temperatures, it's like, okay, what can we do to make sure that we continue to have fun but keep everybody safe? Because there are some concerns when we get to the heat that we do and some of the ways that we're going to be eating and some of the ways we celebrate this week.
So definitely leave out the potato salad for hours. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, if you're going to make potato salad, put it out in the sun for a little while.
I mean, that's one of your number one things, right? Where you leave the food and how long it's out.
Absolutely. You know, if people think about it, it's like, what's the first question you say you're going to have a party? Everyone asks, what can I bring, right? What can I bring? They want to bring things to the party. So if you think about it, when it's 90 degrees and they've made a salad or they've made something, they put it in the trunk because the car is full of kids, and now they drive over the half hour to your house, that salad has been sitting in heat. And unfortunately, bacteria and viruses love moisture and heat, and that's why we end up with much food poisoning as we do much more in the summer than we do in the winter.
What are the main foods to be worried about? Anything that has a dairy base to it?
Yeah, dairy-based, and really anything, it depends on the temperature it's supposed to be kept. So if you have a hot meal, keep it warm, and if you have something that's supposed to be cold, keep it cold. But definitely the dairy-based, cream-based salads are going to be the ones that you're going to have the biggest problems with.
Is there only one kind of food poisoning, or is this like an umbrella term as well?
Yeah, you know, we talk about that. It's like, you know, everyone blames salmonella, right? Oh, I got salmonella. You had this salad, and it caused me to have salmonella.
It's a guy I grew up with in New York, Dave, salmonella.
Salmonella.
Yeah. The truth is there's about 250 different bacteria, viruses, and parasites that can cause food poisoning. We just throw it into one bucket term and call it food poisoning.
Is the treatment all the same?
Treatment's pretty much the same for the most part. For the most part, it's going to run its own course, right? All our goal is going to be is to keep you hydrated as the body tries to clear this, whether it's a toxin or whether it's a bacteria or a virus, tries to clear the body. So as we try to clear the body, whether it's through diarrhea or through vomiting, you know, our goal is going to be to keep those fluids back in your system. So for the most part, probably 95-97% of these, you can treat them at home. You can treat them with just simple hydration. There's a few people that will have much more severe cases, need to be hospitalized, and in fact, actually, we even unfortunately have some deaths due to food poisoning.
A lot of this goes to food storage, too, right?
Absolutely. Probably the biggest thing is the storage. You know, if you think about it, okay, it's time to eat. Let's put all the food out, and it sits out for a while. So, you know, anytime you're storing it there, cold salad should be on an ice bed. So put it in your metal bowl or plastic bowl, but make sure it's sitting on ice so that it maintains a cold temperature. Because we think, oh, I prepared it right. I put it in my cooler when I brought it over. Now we set it out. So all the way from when it's prepared to when it's consumed to when you're getting rid of it, it should be kept at that temperature to minimize the chance for bacteria and viruses.
Now, Dr. Most even has grocery shopping tips for you when it comes down to how you bag them.
Yeah, you know, people, and it's good because most of the grocery stores know this, you know, keep your stuff, keep your meats away from your other things. So you'll see always the checkers putting, you know, the chicken and the meats in the separate bag because we know that if you just took chicken or you just took meat before you cooked it, there's bacteria on that. And if you take that and you touch it to other things, it transmits that bacteria. So you really have to be careful about what you do. Even when you're preparing, if you take hamburgers out on a plate or chicken out on a plate, don't use that same plate to bring them back in. You've just taken the bacteria and the viruses that are sitting there and now put the food right back on it that you killed while you were cooking.
If you are meant to serve dishes cold, make sure they stay cold. If you're meant to serve them hot, make sure they stay hot. I mean, that all seems like common sense. Is most of this stuff common sense?
Yeah, a lot of it is common sense, you know, and a lot of it is, oh, wait, let me smell that to see if it smells okay. You know, the smell test does not tell you whether food is good. What will tell you whether it's good is how did you keep it from when it was made until when you served it. So don't use the smell test. And really, it is. It's a lot of common sense to say, let's keep this safe as we possibly can, because the individuals consuming whatever you made have no clue how it was prepared.
You know, it is fun, though, to take something that you're not sure if it's okay and hold it up and go, smell this. What do you think?
Right. Right. Or, you know, it's the old Mikey. Let Mikey try it first.
Right.
And then you watch him for an hour.
He'll try anything. Dave?
Right. I'm super paranoid when I'm grilling about, especially like with chicken, because, Doc, we've talked about this before. And I'll take, it's a beautiful piece of chicken. It's been sitting on the grill for what seems like an hour. And I'll take it off. I'll take it in the kitchen, and I will cut into it to see if it looks even a slightly bit pink.
Like a surgeon.
Yeah, and then I'll throw it back on the grill. I just don't want to take any chances.
And Dave, you're spot on with chicken. You know, if you want a hamburger that's medium rare, okay, you can do that. Chicken, no way. The salmonella will stay alive, so you really need to make sure that you do cook chicken fully. So chicken is the one that probably gets the worst rap, and rightly so, because the bacteria content in chicken is so high.
And if you do get sick, again, have yourself a couple of days of being a brat, right? The brat diet?
Correct. You know, you start with clear liquids just because you're throwing up, and then you finally get to a point where, okay, I'm not doing that. Don't jump back into the pizzas and the whatever for your food. We start on something called a brat diet. Very simple. Bananas, rice, applesauce, toast. Very simple foods, easy for the stomach to digest them. So don't go jumping back into regular food, or you're going to end up causing the cycle of vomiting and nausea again.
All right. So when we come back, let's talk about blowing your fingers off.
Sure.
All right. Fireworks. Doc's even got some words about that. Stand by. More with Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Relentless in their pursuit of better health care. You, our regular listeners, know that Doc Most and I are kind of fond of golf, and congratulations to our friend Tom Byram. Nice comeback after a rough first round in the Senior Open. Finished the weekend well. And our buddy Chris Smith, not so much Thursday, Friday, but he'll be back.
He definitely will be back. You know, it was great for him. He had the honor of hitting the first tee shot, being probably the most prominent player from the state of Indiana, which was a nice honor for him. I know he's disappointed, but yeah, he'll be back. Just wait. You'll see some good things out of him. And yeah, Tom was pretty happy. We touched base with Tom after he finished and had a nice fourth round there to really move up quite a few spots. So good for him.
Later today, I will be at the beautiful, legendary Medina Golf Club for the BMW. And the media day is today. And we want to remind everybody, the Evans Scholars would love your support. Aren't you an Evans Scholar?
I was very fortunate to receive an Evans Scholarship to the University of Kansas, and my brother to the University of Missouri. So the Most family has been richly rewarded by the Evans Scholars Foundation, and they're great friends of mine.
And would you recommend caddying as a gig?
Oh, my gosh, yes, 100%. I'll tell you, caddying is the best job in the world for young kids. They're outside, they're exercising, they get to interact with adults, they learn the value of money, they learn the value of hard work. It's great. I had a great little caddy yesterday.
You mean literally little. The guy was like 10, 11 years old, right?
Yeah. Joe Willie, who we called him, his name was Joe, we called him Joe Willie. But, yeah, he was 4'9". Going into seventh grade from visitation. And great, great kid, great caddy, really had a great attitude, and it's a great job. Wouldn't you rather have your kids outside exercising, right, learning how to interact with adults, making some money, learning a game, than sitting on the couch playing video games?
Yeah, and that's the thing, because kids have a obesity rate problem like we've never seen, and the incidence of heart disease in young people is crazy high.
And you know what? There's a whole bunch of kids who are very fortunate to be having scholarship as well. So, I mean, you're talking about, you know, kids coming out of college with debt. You know, I had zero debt coming out of undergrad. I had debt coming out of medical school, but zero debt coming out of undergrad because of the generosity of the Western Golf Association.
And the BMW, one of the main charitable supporter arms there is the Evan Scholar Foundation. So you just Google up Evan Scholar, you'll see more of what we're talking about. All right, let's continue. It's fireworks time, and a lot of places have their fireworks this weekend. A lot more will have them this week. Is it as simple as don't blow your fingers off, or do you have more specific advice?
Well, you know, probably the biggest thing is great organized municipal fireworks are wonderful. The ones that we really get concerned about are the ones you're going to do on your street and in your backyard. That's where we start to see injuries and harm. You know, the state of Illinois, fortunately, one of the states that still do not allow fireworks to be sold, which many people are against. And I got to be honest with you, I'd say every physician is right there with it, agreeing that this should not be put into the hands of amateurs. Because we do see the injuries and we do see what's going on. Something as simple as something as simple as sparklers, you know, little kids love them, but little do adults know that they burn at 1800 degrees, can burn an eye, can start hair on fire, can really do some bad damage to skin. So something as simple as we're giving a 7-year-old or an 8-year-old to run around with a sparkler can cause some major damage.
And let's move to heat, because you've suffered from it. Anybody that spends a lot of time outside, whether you're engaged in sports, you're working, whatever, you need to know the difference between heat exhaustion, heat stroke, and how to take care of yourself. So tackle that for me.
Yeah. Heat exhaustion, you know, the whole spectrum of heat-related illness is large. And I'm just going to throw them into two easy buckets. So heat exhaustion is that time when you've been outside, you're sweating, you start to feel maybe a little nauseated, a little bit of a headache. Those are the times now that your body is telling you, you are not keeping up with how much fluid you're losing. The body is going to try to sweat. And as long as it's sweating and the relative humidity is low enough, you are going to be able to cool your body. If it gets to a point where that cooling mechanism doesn't work, that's when we start to get concerned. And you're going to go from heat exhaustion, which can be treated at locally, put the person in a cool environment, fan them down, get their excess clothes off, put some cool towels on them, blow air on them. That can be treated at home. The ones that we get concerned about is the heat stroke, which is an absolute emergency because at that time the body has decided, I'm not going to help myself cool down anymore. You're going to need, you need professional help. Skin is dry, very flushed. Patient often seems very agitated and confused. But dry skin, dry hot skin is something that we are very concerned about.
How do you know you're headed for that, that you've passed go and you're headed for that form of danger?
Yeah, the bad thing is, in the early part, you can kind of understand it yourself. You're sweating in that. The bad part is, when you start to tip over to heat stroke, your mind does not work as well. So you don't even see that. You don't even notice it now. You're not sweating. So that's probably the biggest thing is, hopefully you're with someone else that's looking at that. And this is the one thing, we have to look out for each other at this time. You know, you go to festivals, you're outside, go ahead and spend that $2 or $4 for a bottle of water, even though it's you're not going to like it, because really you would rather try to keep up with your water loss and your dehydration than to suffer from this.
If you get to that point and you are alone, recognize the problem's getting worse and do what?
911 if you're by yourself, to be honest with you. Or the most important thing you can do is get into a cool environment. You know, we're talking about temperatures now today, what, in the 90s? I don't know what the humidity is going to be, but I'm sure it's going to be high, so our cooling mechanism isn't going to work well. Pick the right times of the days to be out to do activities. Interesting, in France, I think I heard today, Orion said that France hit 114 degrees.
Wow.
You know, so we're nowhere near that, but I can tell you when you get into the 90s with a relative humidity in those upper 80s, the cooling mechanism for our body doesn't work well. So don't pick that time to go cut the grass. Don't pick that time. You know, if you're going to play golf, play early, play late. Don't play during the middle of the day.
All good advice from Dr. Kevin Most. We have a couple of texters. Says the ashes from sparklers and other fireworks could kill animals if ingested as well. So clean up after yourself. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, you know, the magnesium in that can. And also, the other thing is you have to do, too, with pets. Think about pets and how their hearing and how sensitive their hearing is. You know what? If you're going to be blowing off fireworks, you're going to do that. Put your dog inside. Put some music on. Let them hear something else besides these loud noises. Not only does it petrify a lot of animals, it really can damage their hearing. So, yeah, I mean, we talk about looking out for humans, but let's look out for our pets as well.
Yeah, be careful what music you play, too, though. I mean, you know, certain music could damage your dog, like the Ava.
Stuff,
that type of thing. And then one more. It says 815. Could Cochran talk more about golf? Riveting radio. Well, I'd like to, but we're out of time.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry we disappointed you, but we'll try to get more golf in next week.
Yeah.
One more texture, 708. I don't sweat. Is something wrong?
Well, you probably do sweat. You may not notice it. To be honest with you, we sweat all during the day today. So excess sweating is when you're outside. But we all are losing fluid through our skin. It's keeping our body cool. It's the only way it happens. We just don't notice that it's happening. But people that really don't sweat and can't sweat, there's a medical condition for that. And they really need to be careful and use other methods to keep themselves cool.
Yeah, you don't have to be pitted out to be sweating, right?
Correct. Okay. Yep.
And let's leave it on that attractive note.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Dr. Kevin Most is going to go handle the fine people at Northwestern CDH and at Marion Joy. And thank you for everything you're doing.
You got it, man. Talk to you guys soon.
See you later. That's Dr. Kevin Most.